This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Random Movie Generator. Random Movie Generator. Random Movie Generator. Random Movie Generator.
Random Movie Generator.
Welcome to Random Movie Generator with myself, David L. and
David Edwards, here existing along your side.
How are you?
Not bad. Not bad at all. In movie mind zone.
Yeah.
Lots of interesting things to chat about. Lots of interesting recommendations, news, reviews.
Yeah.
Lots of things to
still excited about movies. Are you you're not feeling flat about more movies to watch? You still get excited each week?
Oh no, I think I'm always a tart for the hype. I'm very much
you're a hype tart.
I'm hyped up. I'm always chasing the movie dragon. I mean, when I finally get to meet the dragon, it can sometimes be a bit of an anticlimax.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how quickly another sort of movie dragon kind of pops its head out of the sand. I don't know where I'm going with this metaphor.
What would a movie dragon sound like?
It would kind of have an American accent like this, and instead of like smoke coming out of its mouth, it'd have a big cigar. And they'd be like, "Hi, Dave, I got a great movie for you, Mr. Ed. Would you want to come in here? Come in here," and it'd usher me into his, a caravan or something.
Like a Godzilla. Kind of I was imagining Godzilla.
Yeah, maybe Godzilla. I was thinking more Peter's dragon, sort of like a kind of classic kind of Merlin dragon, but of a New York kind of accent. "Roll up, roll up. I got the latest movie. Come on, come on. Take a seat, Mr. Edwards. Where you want to be?" Basically, yeah. Promising me the world, that all my worries and regrets will be taken away as I spend 90 minutes in a dark, air-conditioned room looking at these images flicker on the holy screen of cinema.
Well, so, David, you went to see a movie last night, and when this comes out, we will have posted your video on Instagram. You went to see the movie last night. What was the movie called again?
It was a Ken Loach movie.
Yeah.
Originally, I'd actually bought my tickets for The Exorcist. And the reviews have been so appalling that I just couldn't stomach it. I just thought, I had to say to the guy I go with, Ryan, that the reviews have been so appalling. It was just like, it's a new Exorcist film. It's called Believer. And I think something like The Exorcist, if it's done poorly and not well executed, you just got young girls in 90s covered in,
marmalade.
Marmalade, well said. That's the best PG version, marmalade.
Spoiler alert, there was only one other person in there with you.
Yes, only one other person, just the three of us. Me, my friend Ryan, and a chap in the back row in his mid-70s, dressed a bit like a sort of 1900s lighthouse keeper, big bushy beard and a knitted heavy woolen jumper, eating a box of Maltesers. And just the three of us. It's the film was the latest Ken Loach movie. So, you know, low budget social realism film called The Old Oak. And it's supposed to be his last movie. But I mean, he's threatened to retire many times before. And it was an engaging piece of cinema. I don't want to give my rating straight away because I know the structure of the show.
No, well, I think it's nice to know. Well, it's up to you. Yeah, I guess it's the keep your cards close to your bottom. But
close to your nipples, definitely on your chest.
So you went there with Ryan. There was one other person, so I guess you could eat chicken or do what the hell you liked. Actually, what's it like when it comes to eating and no one else is in there? I bet you're like, fucking hell, kick my feet out and eat what the fuck I want.
Well, I probably would do anyway because I'm usually in the front row. And
oh, that's true. Is that why you go in the front row?
No, it's to avoid other people's eating. But unknowingly, ironically, when I'm eating, it's probably like an absolute slob, like a Viking at a feast.
You in the front row, David, you could literally take a little camping table and put it in front of you and just put a little tape. You could eat like that, couldn't you? And no one would...
Don't put those ideas in my mind. Do not put that in my head, because you probably could do that, definitely. And also the Cineworld, oh God, I shouldn't say this is controversial. The staff is just primarily like Lord of the Flies. It's all teenagers. So I don't think anyone would bother coming to the front. I could actually do that. I could bring a little table, a little coffee table, one to put my feet up on. I could bring like a little puff, you know, like a little like absolutely steady once again. This is going into carry on territory. A little stool for my feet. And a flask, like I'm going fishing.
I
more
feel
like.
Really old.
I could quite easily do that if I wanted to, and I don't think it'd be embarrassing if there was that one moment where the usher did turn up for some reason, because I had to, like, I don't know, fix a light or make sure the fire exit door was locked, and they found me there surrounded in furniture. But
well, what's it about? What's the film about, David?
Basically, it's a small community, and they used to be a mining town, but the mine has closed down, so they're going through recession, and they're all struggling to introduce...
Honestly, I could have guessed this was the opening of the Ken Loach.
I know, absolutely.
Flipping hell, rein it in, Ken. Give us a superhero, son.
I mean, that's why I was like, I'm off to see The Exorcist, but The Exorcist got such bad reviews, I was just like... You just knew it was going to be painful to get through. But you've got this added element. So you're quite right, stereotypical beginning in that sense. But then you've got everyone in the town is always just hooked on looking at YouTube videos about immigrants and coming into the country, right. Refugees.
Right.
And it's really spiking like a very right-wing kind of anger towards them. And then suddenly a coach appears and a group of people from Syria get off, and they're actually being given like housing, shelter in the actual community. And this obviously sparks a lot of anger within the actual people of the community. And there's a guy who's the landlord of the local pub called the Old Oak. And the Old Oak used to be this really important pub when people had money and they could actually spend it on events and things in that vein, but now it's just got a few locals coming in. And he's quite pro the asylum seekers and the people coming in, and but whereas the rest of the community just think it's appalling these people are coming into the country, taking their jobs. And what the problem appears that the locals want to start a group every evening in the pub where they discuss what's happening with Britain and how Britain's losing its way. And the pub landlord says, no, you can't do that. That sounds very toxic. But then he has like another group that puts a food bank together in the pub where they share recycled food and things in that vein. And the new refugees are invited to that, and the community become very angry. It's almost like, oh, you've got put a group together for them, but not for us, type of thing. And then he bonds with a teenage girl who is a refugee that's come through Syria. And it's about, you know, two communities that are going through problems. And
just to let you know, David, DDDPPP, I'm quite literally on my way to see the Old Oak now. He's going there now.
Literally on their way as we speak.
So just in case you give us a sense of the ending, just in case that person's listening or
Absolutely. Yeah. No spoilers whatsoever.
Yeah.
No spoilers. But, I mean, it's very much based in reality. Once again, most of the actors, a lot of, like, the main girl who's in it, she's only lived in Britain since 2018. She literally is, once again, a refugee. And most of them are perhaps actors that have done, like, amateur workshops. He gets, it's like Kez, do you know what I mean? You know, the classic from the 70s about the boy and the hawk, that is his most well-known one. You can tell that these people are real people. Hardly any of them are actual actors. And you get a real feel of day-to-day monotony in life, but woven into a well-put-together narrative. I wouldn't say it's up there with his other more recent films like I, Daniel Blake. Because I, Daniel Blake, yes, it had a social message, you know, very sort of left-wing perspective, and it made you think of things from that political viewpoint. But I, Daniel Blake, also worked as a very fiery, intense piece of storytelling. Do you know what I mean? It's like the political message was secondary to the actual kind of narrative. There's quite a few moments in Daniel Blake where you're quite taken in.
Yeah. Okay. What were you eating? Now, I wouldn't know how it'd be. Surely you've got to pick the right food for a Ken Loach film.
Well, I was very restrained with my eating today.
Well, yeah, I was like yesterday. Space Invaders or whatever they are. It seems a strange sweet to eat. So, yeah,
I had a very restrained time. I literally just brought in a average size of Skittles and a Coke Zero. Simple as that. Just kept it balanced.
I feel like having a Ken Loach movie, you should be eating like a sandwich with granary bread or something.
Absolutely. Homemade organic carrot cake. And coffee from a flask, from a tea bag that you've used two times already. Well, that would be coffee, would it?
No.
But it's good old sensible plain biscuits, you know, from Tesco's.
Chunky cheddar.
Absolutely.
A little bit of pickle.
You know, like you're in communist Russia type of thing. You just everyone's been given the same Tupperware box, so there's no fighting or wrestling over the Maltesers. There's no like Donald Trump eating caviar in the back seat. We're all just eating grey food, united.
KB has come up with a joke. Are you ready for it?
Oh, I love a joke. A bit of a giggler.
So I want to see if it. What impression it leaves on you. KB's come up with a joke on what we're talking about. Are you ready?
I am always ready for some humour.
Loached eggs.
Love it. I'm amazed no one's even used that before. I can imagine that in a Guardian article. Spot on. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a comedy assassin from the top balcony with a perfect telescope.
So I get the feeling you had a nice little evening. Do you like watching movies with just a lighthouse keeper behind you eating Maltesers? I think you probably do, don't you? This is your...
I didn't even hear the Maltesers. I think he must have been sucking them like an anaconda on an egg. You know, just slowly sucking out the chocolate and then letting the honey crisp center dissolve on his tongue.
Yeah.
It's like I'd entered his mouth then for a second, like I'm narrating his whole digestive system.
Here's a big question. If you go with Ryan and the cinema is empty and you sit on the front row, do you sit right next to one another or do you have a chair? Do you go, hey, let's have a bit of space here?
No, sit next to each other.
Yeah.
A bit of camaraderie, a bit of unity. Yeah, I wouldn't like that, a gap between us type of thing. You know what I mean? It's like we're not on a date, obviously, but, you know, you're there to sort of, you know, have a sort of... I think I'd take that a bit personally if you wanted a gap between us. I've never thought about it before.
Well, I think if I went with someone, I'd go, let's just spread our legs a bit and just... Let's have a little bit of a breather.
Yeah, I mean, there's thinking behind that. I mean, if you said that to me, I'd like a breather. I'd like to stretch my legs so I can allow my blood to move through my legs with no issues. It's not social, it's biological. I'd meet him halfway with that. As long as I knew there was a reason for it.
Oh, exactly. No, it's not to say, it's just to go, oh, do you know, I just want to, just do that.
That's fair enough. I've never thought about it, really. It's strange.
Well, David... Now it's time for you to review Old Oak. If everyone in there, welcome everybody who's watching live on YouTube. Thanks for coming along. If you do want to watch live on YouTube, then please come to patreon.com/David Hill. And you can watch this as it unfolds in real time. So if you could put your guess what review David's going to give Old Oak, and put it in the chat box. I'll do the same now. I think I've got a good idea what you're going to give it, but you never quite know. Richard Bayliss has put his thoughts down. I'm going to put mine. Jonathan Whitney, KB. Very interesting. Okay, David. Ken Loach's new film, Old Oak. How many chalk ices out of 5 are you going to give it?
I would give it 3 chalk ices.
Ooh.
There you go.
I gave it 3.5. Yeah.
I was considering that. That was going through my head. Definitely. That 0.5 was kind of like balancing in the background. But it's interesting that you obviously got that from my sort of tone and body language, that I was on a 3 out of 5 mode.
Richard Bayliss, 3.5. Jonathan Whitney, 3.5. KB, 3. Nicola Haddo, 3. Guy Anderson, 4. H.C. Musler, 3.5. Simon Williams, 4. Zoe, 3. Pete, 3. Stinkbits, 3.5. JG, 3. Beans McKenzie, 3.5. And Dave, 2.
Oh, good grief.
So 3. That's a pretty good review, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's kind of like pedestrian Ken Loach. You know, it's well filmed. You know, it's always amazing what he does with the actors. It feels very real, very minimalist. But I would say things like I, Daniel Blake. And also, there's that Amazon film he did, whereby not set in the jungle, but it's about delivery men. And I've forgotten the title of it, annoyingly. And the title was something like You Weren't Here or something. It's so bad when I do this. Let me have sort of Ken Loach, a delivery man film. It's really bad. Sorry We Missed You. And it was a man struggling to do these delivery jobs via these big tech companies like Amazon. And that was really effective because it was almost like it had the social realism quality, but it almost had like thriller tropes built into it, because, you know, it's like, is he able to meet the deadlines? If he doesn't, he's going to get sacked, you know. So it actually operated not just this kind of political yarn, but it had proper entertainment hooks. And I'd say in places this was perhaps lacking that. There's some great moments, and there's some real likable characters, and they bond in the community. There's a great moment where the landlord takes the young girl to the local cathedral to show her, you know, like a piece of British architecture, and it reminds her of the religious temples in Syria. So, yeah, there's a lot of tender moments, but I think I, Daniel Blake, and other more recent ones had more of a kind of intensity to it, where it wasn't, the political message was secondary to quite intense social realism drama.
Well, David, thank you so much for this week's new movie review.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, genuinely.
Really?
I think I need to be genuine about that, because I thought, don't just be like a tape on a loop.
No, thank me.
I don't want to be like Truman from the Truman Show.
Yeah,
just
noises coming out of it. Yeah, no, care about what you say.
Absolutely, really, like one of those.
Thank you, David. Thank you, David, for this week's new movie review.
Thank you. I don't want to be one of those mugs in the 80s
where you
just pick them
for?
Up. A platform to express my passion for cinema. Simple as that. Very clear on that one. I know what to be, have gratitude for.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, indeed. Absolutely.
David Edwards, movie news.
So, David, you got any movie news this week?
Absolutely. Let's go on the old movie news thing. One thing that's interesting is that there's a whole, I was going to say pletitude. That's not a word. I just come up with that.
Plethora?
Plethora. There is the word. That'd be quite a good name for a pop band or a rock band, I think. The Plethora. Absolutely.
Wow!
Welcome to Plethora. Plethora of mayhem. Mayhem, more like. Armando Iannucci has written a stage play for Dr. Strangelove. I mean, first of all, Armando Iannucci, where does Armando Iannucci get the time to? Because I remember you know, in the realms of reality now, you did chat to him on Chatterbox, and he didn't even mention Doctor Strangelove. He mentioned he was doing that superhero Marvel satire for HBO. But Doctor Strangelove just sounds as though that's just a little hobby he's done in the background, and he's done a stage play of it. Steve Coogan appearing as Doctor Strangelove. Not Doctor Strange, the Marvel character. That would be bizarre. But that just sounds scrumptious. I mean, that just sounds incredible. The other one they're turning into a play is Minority Report. The other one is Paranormal Activity. And Danny Boyle is still doing The Matrix as an opera. And it's not films, but Stranger Things, directed by the guy Stephen Elliott, who did... Stephen Dofferty. I've got his name completely wrong. He's the director of The Hours, and Billy Elliot is directing the Stranger Things opera. It's not an opera. It's
Stephen Daldry?
Stephen Daldry. There you go. That is the man who's doing it. But do you know, there's a fascinating stuff online, if you look at it, that there's been loads of failed film plays. U2 wrote all the music for a Spider-Man Broadway show. And that completely died, and they were really near to opening it. And Lily Allen wrote the entire music for a Bridget Jones play, and that was dumped 1 minute to midnight. And she's very irritated by that, because she wrote that album, you know, all the music, instead of doing a new album. So sometimes I don't come to fruition, but apparently these are. I guess it's just good synergy, isn't it? It gets a modern audience into place.
If I said, look, I've rewritten Jaws for the theatre, I need you to sing the big showstopper at the end, how would it go? The Jaws big song at the end.
So it'd be bum 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 bum. Here we go on a boat, looking off in the distance. Here it comes through the sea, trying to kill me, me. It's gonna kill me, me. Bum 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 bum. Ta-la, ta-la. That's the sort of vibe it would be. And it would just be me on the raft. You know, when, I've forgotten the name, Brody, he's just on the raft with the gun.
Here we go.
Go.
On the sea.
In a
this
boat.
Float.
Look at me.
Here it comes.
Through
the sea.
With his mouth.
He's
going to eat me.
Me.
Bum, bum,
me.
Bum, 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 bum.
Eat me,
not you.
Big
me.
Timpani drums. Boom, boom, boom,
oh,
boom,
yeah,
boom,
definitely.
Boom,
the whole orchestra.
Everyone's like,
at the
fucking hell, this is good. Fucking hell.
Me with a ripped shirt on the end of the boat, half emerged in the water. Me, like something out of Les Miserables.
Me,
you know,
me. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom. But it's dinner time, and I'm the only one on the menu. Something like that.
Yeah. Have they ever made Jaws into a...
Oh, I was about to say, they blooming have, haven't they? And it's done very, very well. It's basically all about the making of Jaws.
What, a theatre... Blah, 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 blah.
Do you know the character who plays the...
Oh, you're bloody right, the shark is broken.
Yes, and it's about the three actors, and it's about them discussing in between. Who is the main guy who's the shark killer? His son plays his father, and it's a well-known 70s actor. And he wrote it as well. So you've got someone playing Richard Dreyfuss, someone playing... who's the guy who plays Brody? Well-known guy, also was in French Connection.
Schneider.
Schneider, absolutely. Someone playing that. And someone playing the actual... the chap who just accidentally falls into Jaws' mouth and gets chomped on.
The shark is broken. Maybe I knew that at the back of my...
And also, I'm pretty sure they've done another Jaws spin musical that's premiered over the summer in Broadway. So there's two of them out there. I meant to mention it with my list of plays. But they're quite established, those two. Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. It's all about the politics in between the scenes. There's Spielberg doesn't appear in it, but he's referenced in the dialogue between the characters.
Oh, well, I wouldn't mind having a little nose at that. Really? Well, any more news, David? Are we done? Yeah.
I'll tell you one other thing that looks interesting, but I'll be really quick, is because Amazon now own the James Bond rights because they bought MGM, they're spinning it off into other directions, although Barbara Broccoli, the producer, is quite hesitant. She's been quite open that she won't allow Amazon to go crazy with doing endless spin-offs, but they've managed to do one in collaboration with Barbara Broccoli, and it's a new reality TV show called 007 Road to a Million. It comes out in November, and Brian Cox plays a kind of either like a Bond M figure or villain, I'm not quite sure from the trailer, and average people are given the challenge to take on Bond scenarios, and if you keep on winning, you get £1 million.
Sounds amazing.
So there's one example in Casino Royale where Bond, Daniel Craig, has to like climb that crane, doesn't he, at the beginning, and then fight a man at the top. So you've got to climb the crane. There's one clip where it's a couple in the library, and they're having to deal with a tarantula, or it's like something out of Doctor No.
Sounds incredible. What's it called?
Road to, 007 Road to a Million, I believe. I may have butchered that title.
Road to a Million.
The other thing to be aware of is Michael Gammon passed away last week, so that's quite a shock.
Gammon?
Gammon.
Gambon.
Gambon, what a disaster. What a butchery of names, dear God. Well, at least he knows that he's got a good agent here, good publicity, and the marketing worked on David Edwards.
How are we ever going to be taken seriously when you call him Michael Gammon?
I don't know. Well, I don't think we are we? I think that's sort of in the stars now.
Did you know Clint EastEnders is dead? Clint Eastwood! Oh, sorry.
I wonder what was going on there. That was really quite a kind of... the way you said that, it was like... I actually thought there was a Clint EastEnders sort of character. I was like, why are we going with this? Clint EastEnders. Have I called him Clint EastEnders in the past? Or
thank you so much, David, for this week's movie news.
Not at all. Thank you for listening, and I do apologise to the family of Gammon.
Gammon family,
yeah, quite right.
David Edwards' movie review.
So, David, this week's movie review, Mandy, you picked a movie that Mandy had randomly chosen for you. You blindfoldedly picked a movie. What was that movie? I can't remember.
It was Expendables 3.
Oh, yes. Expendables 3. Now, my thought when that came up was... You looked a bit gutted. I think you were kind of you tried to show that you were thankful, but you did look a little bit, oh, I've got to sit through that.
Yeah, I guess it was just not gutted, but like, yeah, I'll give it a whirl. Do you know what I mean? It's not a McDonald's Big Mac. It's more like a Rustler burger you put in the oven or the microwave. Do you know what I mean? But it'll do the job. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a Five Guys kind of classic Hawaiian double stacked up treat.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's worse. I mean, I've had worse things. What did I have before that one? I remember it being particularly bad. So I had context to view it through that it wasn't going to be a hellish 2 hours or whatever.
Tell me about the Expendables. I've never seen 1, 2, 3, 4 or whatever. What's it about?
Basically, it's like a nostalgia fest in the sense that it's Sly bringing together lots of action stars from the 80s during that hard body period. So you've got Jean-Claude Van Damme appears in one, Dolph Lundgren, Sylvester Stallone. So all these big kind of like masculine, hyper-masculine stars of the 80s and also early 90s come together. It's almost like the A-Team. They're like these sort of ex-military guys who come together who are given these extreme missions. So it's a bit like Dirty Dozen, A-Team, or Seven Samurai. It's got that vibe as well, where they help a community or they take on these kind of villainous figures that are exploiting society in some way.
Now, you said to me once that when people watch movies, they're watching the film, but they're also watching the actor in the film. Am I right in saying? So you're watching a Tom Cruise movie, but you're going, that's Tom Cruise. I like Tom Cruise. I'm watching Tom Cruise play a man.
100%.
Are you constantly thinking that through the Expendables? Are you constantly thinking that character's Arnold? I'm watching Arnold. Arnold, 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 Arnold.
And I think out of all the characters that appear, Schwarzenegger appears in this one, the third one. And I think of all of them, Schwarzenegger plays that card too much, whereby he's just playing a parody of himself. So every time he shouts in his kind of Austrian accent, you know, let's get to the chopper, you know, and stuff like that, he makes references to his other films. It's a completely self-aware postmodern performance, and it's too much. You just don't take it real. And if he had a brief cameo in the film, he's on the screen too much not to have in any way a rooted character. It goes too far with it in that sense.
Is Stallone behind all of this?
Yes, massively. He wrote and directed the first one. He didn't direct this one, but he has a hand in writing it and producing it. He's very much the steerer of the ship. It's his franchise. He came up with that.
Okay, let's have a little listen to a bit of Expendables 3. So, you sat down, you watched it with a heavy heart?
I wouldn't say a heavy heart, no. It was just like just an element of, you know, it's kind of like...
What sort of food would you relate it to if you sat down at a table?
I was about to say that, really. It was kind of like a sensible Kit Kat instead of like a white chocolate Lion bar.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like a special offer, kind of like amazing, you know, one of those chocolates that come out only for a month and then they're going to be gone. It's out of the fridge and you just can't wait to get your bloody teeth around and get your taste buds sucking on those sweet juices, some type of thing. But this was a sensible Kit Kat, and it came from a Tupperware box packed by mother. It wasn't fresh from the fridge. It's going to do the job. You're hungry, you know. It's
someone
not like...
Guy Anderson said, David went through the motions.
Absolutely. Sylvester Stallone. But then again, some people like the motions. The fourth one came out a few weeks ago. It didn't get very good reviews, and it did poorly at the box office. So I think Expendables has lost its momentum. But this third one did particularly well, actually.
In a quick mouthful, what's it about, this Expendables 3?
This third one, he's got like a younger team around him, but the older crew get involved as well, because there's like an IT tech element. And the villain of the piece is an old Expendables from Sylvester Stallone's past. And I wasn't aware of this. It's Mel Gibson. I did not know Mel Gibson was in it. And he actually gives a very good performance. He doesn't rein it in. He focuses on a character.
You mean he does rein it in?
He does rein it in, sorry. Quite right. It's good that you said that, because I'm contradicting myself. He does rein it in, and he's a lot more believable, and it does show that he wasn't just a movie star action hero. He's got acting chops. And there's one moment where they capture him and he does a monologue in the back of a van about his past with the Expendables, you know, why he went a different route. And it's not Macbeth, but he certainly raises the game for everyone else.
Was Harrison in it?
Harrison Ford is definitely in it.
How did that feel?
He's in there very briefly. And I would say Mel Gibson's impressive. Schwarzenegger just goes too far into the self-aware japery. And Harrison Ford is that nice, neat middle ground. He's not in there loads.
Do you love him?
I would say...
Would you say I love Harrison Ford?
I would say 80s Harrison Ford. If there's a time machine and I could go back to him in his mid-40s, 80s Harrison Ford, yes. Not Harrison Ford today, because he's a bit of a grumpy old chap.
Right, here's an experiment. David, oh my God, we're recording live. I'm on Google. David, oh my God, Harrison Ford's died. What are you feeling?
Yeah, I don't. Do you know what? I think I'd only know when that actually happens, because as you said that, I was like, "There definitely." I think I would definitely go for a nostalgia contemplation mode. You know, the first time
he's
I watched
gone.
His films,
he's gone.
Food for thought. Yeah,
he's
definitely.
Gone. The hero's gone. The hero's dead.
Yeah, it definitely would hit a button. It would definitely go through my. It wouldn't be something I'd just forget about. I'd selfishly see it through my own lens of, like, you know, my relationship to him, where I was with certain places. But yeah, I think he's definitely a man that's part of, like, pop culture mythology, isn't he? I think you don't know until it happens, really. It's like when you see a celebrity, sometimes it's more just an eye-opening element that, yeah, they're just a normal person. Other times you're quite starstruck. You don't know what the actual reaction's going to be. But I think it would be something that I'd carry through my head for the rest of the day. That's the end of an era.
More than that.
Probably so.
I think it'll pull the rug from under your feet. I don't know. I don't know. I've got a couple of people in my life when they go, I think, Jesus Christ.
Who would you say they are? Who are they? Keep it under the bonnet. Keep it to yourself. Never you mind, Mr. Edwards. Tapping the old nose there. Never you mind.
So, David, it's time to review Expendables 3. If people in the comment box could have a guess at what David's going to give it. I'm going to have a guess. I'm trying to think where you're going to go with this. I think I've got a good idea, but you never know. You can surprise me. I don't even get that. How many sittings? Tell me the sittings afterwards. Pete's had a guess. Guy's had a guess. Dave's had a guess. Moosler's had a guess. DJ Swad's had a guess. So Sam, Paul, and KB and Amy. David, over to you. How many choc ices out of 5 are you going to give Expendables 3?
$2.5
Ooh!
Oh, there you go, sir. There you go.
I gave it two.
It's that 0.5. Maybe I should get rid of the. We should maybe get rid of the 0.5s.
No, I like the 0.5s. 2.5. So you quite enjoyed it then. They had some fun moments.
Fun moments. I thought Harrison Ford was. It was nice to see him. That probably added the 0.5, being a fan. But then again, when he's in the helicopter at one point, there's one surreal moment where it's like Harrison Ford's flying the helicopter, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is in the back of the helicopter firing a machine gun, and it's quite surreal seeing them together.
Is it enjoyable seeing them together? Seeing all these.
It's enjoyable in a kind of circus manner. It's not an actual world that you can merge into and get lost in. Do you know what I mean? It's a complete celebrity circus. I think it shows the acting chops of Harrison Ford and Mel Gibson that they can kind of, you know, in amongst all the craziness, they can still be quite a believable character, execute the dialogue quite well. Although when he's in the helicopter, Harrison Ford, there's a lot of close-ups where you know that he wasn't filming with Arnie. And they just got him on his day off. It's just like, you know, very clear, that case.
Well, David, thank you so much for this week's movie review.
Thank you. Indeed. Thank you for listening, people.
David Edwards' Movie Tips.
So, David, have you got a movie tip for this week?
Yeah, I tell you, it's a good recommendation. Martin Scorsese's obviously got his new film coming out.
Yeah, when's that out?
That's out mid-October.
Oh, I can't wait for you. Well, is that next week?
I don't think it is next week.
I'll have a little look now. Go on.
I think it's 20-something. So okay. I think it's like maybe late October, not quite mid. But it's The Killer Moon. And basically, he did a big article.
18th.
So is that next week? No, it's not quite. No, it's not next week. It'll be the week after. When it's a big film, bizarrely, they bring it out not on a Friday, but on a Wednesday. So it gains good talk, word of mouth as you get to the weekend. That means they're very confident about the movie. It's got very good reviews and went down well in the festivals.
I can't wait for you to review that. I cannot wait.
It does. It certainly looks good. They did a GQ article with him, with a well-known writer called Zach Baron, and he's a well-known journalist. And it's like a lot of these articles, when they're very revealing, it's quoted a lot and turns into clickbait on the internet. And I was like, well, I'll check this out. And it's a very revealing article. He's like turning 81, or he has turned 81, or he's going to. And it's definitely a man who's getting ready for, this is the last chapter of his life, looking back on Hollywood. It's a very interesting article indeed.
Why? What did you... Well,
he says very much kind of like, he thinks he's only got one or two films in him if he's lucky. How some interesting things revealed to me. Things like, I didn't realize he'd been married 5 times. This is his 5th wife. She's got Parkinson's. So it's very much about him dealing and helping her with that. He hardly goes to LA anymore. The only reason he goes to LA is to visit DiCaprio. So they obviously have a genuine strong bond there. And there's lots of things. I think he talks a lot about never quite getting... He always thinks that he'll sort himself out on some level. He'll have an epiphany and he'll be able to sort out his anxieties or, feelings of anger towards people. But he's realised that he's 81 and he never really got to iron out any of his problems. And he's almost saying that you just got to be at peace with being you and not so much adding new things to your life, but letting go of things. It's almost quite a Buddhist outlook he seems to have on life now.
Is there anything else that he said? I'm quite enjoying this section.
Yeah, he talks a lot about many a time that I was unaware of, he's actually given up on filmmaking and said that's enough because he's had such bad situations with the studio, even during periods where I thought he was in a very comfortable position. Like, for instance, Aviator with DiCaprio, he was given final cut by the studio. And there was an element whereby, you can edit whatever you want, DiCaprio's in it. And the studio didn't feel that his cut was... his version of the film, the way it was being produced, was commercial enough. But he said, no, you've given me final edit. I'm going to do what I want. So they just took the whole budget away from him. So he couldn't film those scenes in the first place. So he had to come up with $500,000 of his own money to finish the film. And at that point, he was just like, I'm not making another movie again. But then he got sucked in and he did The Departed. And they wanted one of the characters in The Departed to die so they could turn it into a franchise. And he was like, even though I'm a big director, I've never been given, I'm always having to deal with the money men all the time. And I was quite amazed. I thought at that point of his career, he was just given carte blanche, but still having to really deal with toxic studio pressure.
So, David, we've got Martin Scorsese with us now. And Professor Charkins, the snobby film critic, is allowed to ask him one question. What question would Professor Charkins ask Martin Scorsese?
Ah, nice to meet you, Professor Charkins. I've only got 3 minutes. Why do you want to know?
Can I just say that you are part of, Trump talks about the 1%, you are the 0.2%. I understand. My heart is beating in time with the clock that we have together. Which I would just say, as an artist, I don't really know, but as a genuine artist of the silver screen, what What advice can you give the new generation so we are artists and not mere manufacturers of Marvel dribble? How do we need to charter the cinematic yacht down the Scorsese Valley of art and not be distracted by this hideous McDonaldization of the art form you and I, and perhaps only you and I, go to bed and dream about? You know, get, before you die and you leave this earth, which I know is very soon, tell us something, whisper into my mortal ear so I can pass it on to the world on my blog and podcast, what the next step is. I could write a book about it. You know, what is the Scorsese code?
Thank you, David.
not a problem. not a problem at all.
Imagine hearing that. God, you're 81 years old. Becky Miss says Professor Charkins is a knob.
Unfortunately, so it does seem like that's a recurring theme with this particular persona.
I like Charkins. No, do I like Charkins? No. Actually, I would like to hang out. I'd like to watch Charkins from about 20 yards away.
Sort of fly-on-the-wall documentary vibe.
Yeah. Thank you, David, for this week's movie tips.
Thank you. Thank you.
David Edwards' Random Movie Generator.
So, David, it's a random... Oh, sorry. Hello, Mandy.
I've got a sore throat.
Oh, she's got a sore throat.
It hurts.
Oh, dear. Goodness me, that's not good.
I've got a cold sore.
I think that's almost physically impossible for a robot to have a cold sore.
It's herpes, yes.
I don't think an actual robot can get any actual germs. I don't think they have a biological system. They only have, like, a motherboard. I don't want to ruin things, but I think that's almost...
She just said, what do you know?
A lot about robots. Because I nearly dated one before she turned her bloody back on me.
For a Hoover.
And I thought I'd better do some research for date two, which never happened.
So robots can't get herpes?
They
cannot get herpes.
Yes,
I can go absolutely. They can, you know,
well,
go
what's
like
this then by my mouth?
And, no
she,
herpes
said, she just said, what's this then by my mouth?
That is a bit of smear ketchup.
No,
and someone
not.
Put some food in
no,
your mouth to cook
not.
It. Simple as that. Some smeared relish or some kind of, you've been used to cook some food or something.
Okay, David, so this is the moment where you have to pick a movie with your eyes closed. Mandy comes up with three movies, and whatever movie you pick, you review for next week. So,
wonderful
are
stuff.
You ready?
Absolutely, sir.
Have we ever found you a movie that you're genuinely excited about?
Oh, I
Hurt
think
Locker?
So.
Hurt Locker?
Oh, yeah, remember Hurt Locker?
Yeah.
I think we have. I mean, there must be some in the past where I've gone off skipping into the film distance.
Okay, let's find the genre of the first movie that you might be reviewing next week. Over to you. Tell Mandy when to stop.
Stop.
Action.
Wonderful.
And now the decade, please.
Stop.
2010s.
Wowzers. That'll be interesting.
Mandy, please generate four action movies from the 2010s. She has done. She's got them in her body. She's spinning them around, and now it's time for you to tell her when to stop spinning.
Stop.
American Made. Starring Tom Cruise. American Made.
Oh, that's a drug film made by Doug Liman. I've never seen that. That is interesting.
Donald Gleason.
That's
Tom
an
Cruise.
Interesting one in the sense that, yeah, it's about him. He's a cocaine dealer.
Have you seen it?
I haven't. I would say that's the last one Tom Cruise did where it was a character piece,
right,
and it wasn't just linked to a franchise, and it wasn't just this big, hefty cinematic experience where he's just doing his own stunts,
flying a plane, or
leaping off a bridge. Yeah, yeah, that is interesting. It's Doug Liman, the guy who directed Bourne Identity.
Okay, right.
Jumper.
Let's choose the second movie that you might be reviewing next week. Let's pick the genre of that second
movie.
When
you said maid, I had a vision of a maid as in like a literal maid. I was like, how's that an action film? Sounds like a Jennifer Lopez movie. Yeah, sorry, let's go for it. Stop.
Mystery.
Wonderful.
And the decade of that mystery movie, please.
Stop.
2000s.
Ooh, mystery in the noughties.
Please, Mandy, choose 4 mystery movies from the noughties. She has. She's picked 4. She's spinning them around in her body, and it's time for you to tell her when to stop spinning.
Stop.
Secret Window.
That's Johnny Depp, David Coip film.
Yeah.
Yes, that is interesting. It's about an author, isn't it? I've never seen that.
So we got a couple of good movies here, potentially.
Yeah, David Coip wrote and directed that, and it's Johnny Depp, isn't it? It's an author living on, it's almost like a Stephen King-esque piece. He's like living on his own in a... he's trying to write his new book in a secluded log cabin. I haven't seen it.
So let's choose the genre of the third movie that you might be reviewing next week.
Stop.
Documentary.
Okay, I do like a docu.
And now let's choose the decade of the documentary, please.
Stop.
2000s.
Lovely.
Let's generate 4 documentaries from the 2000s. David, Mandy has generated 4 documentary movies from the 2000s, and it's up to you to tell her when to stop.
Stop.
Jackass the movie.
Wow, that would be very interesting to watch again.
Jackass the movie. Jackass the movie.
Wonderful stuff. It's ages since I've watched Jackass.
Okay, David, so you've got American Made, Secret Window, and Jackass the movie.
Any of those I could go with quite happily.
I've given each movie an A, a B, and a C. I've jumbled them up. Have I? I might actually be tricking you here. Who knows? Do you think I'm tricking you? Or do you think I'm jumbling them up?
I'm going to go for jumbling them up. There we go.
Okay, David. It's over to you. Which movie are you going to be reviewing next week? Is it going to be A, B, or C?
C.
American Made.
Ooh, Doug Liman and Tom Cruise.
Lovely
stuff.
How'd you feel?
More than happy with that. More than happy. I think it's on Netflix now, actually. I think it's just popped up. I think it's easy to stream and everything.
This is just a nice little movie to watch.
Oh,
isn't
it's
it?
An absolute, and I do like Cruise. And as I say, I think it's the last time he's done like an original idea. Base, like a character piece that he was kind of remembered for in the 80s, because he wasn't an action hero before the Mission Impossible franchise in the 90s.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was very much, it was like Cocktail, wasn't it? And things like that. And Risky Business.
DJ Swad says, yep, very good.
Oh, he's seen it, has he?
Wow. I mean, I never like influencing you, but DJ Swad said, yeah, very good. I enjoyed
It's a good director as well. Doug Liman's a director that Cruise is hoping to make his space movie with Universal Studios.
Right.
Where they're actually going to go out into space literally and film it.
Well, David, I've got to shoot off to footy.
So again, sorry patrons for that, but we will do a, we could just do a, like a one-off quizzy one evening for half hour, a quizzy ep. But thank you very much, David, for this week's random movie generator. Thank you everyone for joining us. I look forward to, do you ever, these movies, do you ever, if you get a good one, do you ever just go, I'm going to watch that on a Saturday night?
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, bloody right. Yeah, gosh, absolutely. Yeah. I'll happily watch this whenever type of thing. Yeah, God, lovely. This is, because it's almost gone perfectly. You just said, you know, do you ever get a good movie? Well, this one's good. And it's starting to tick off the old Tom Cruise filmography. Do you know what I mean?
Go on.
I'm amazed I haven't watched it. And I'm suddenly thinking, no, you didn't make the effort to watch it. And that's why he hasn't made another film like this. He's just done another Mission Impossible film.
Well, thank you, David, for this week's Random Movie Generator. And thank you, everyone, for listening and uploading. And if you like the movie, the podcast, please like and subscribe. Please. We're on Instagram.
Please. No, genuinely, yes.
Yeah. No, genuinely, please.
I sort of woke up to that. I was just yes.
And we do videos, little videos on Instagram, funny little clips. So if please come up to it. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, David. Have a lovely weekend. Thank you everyone for watching, and we'll see you next weekend, and we will get some Patreon quizzes in. We will indeed.
100% goes.
Thank you everyone. Cheers, David.
Enjoy the football. Yes. And Cyril salute.
Yes, Cyril salute. Bye-bye everyone.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. And I'll get that video to you, definitely. Yes. 100%.
Bye-bye. Cyril salute. Bye-bye, people.
Random movie generator. Random movie generator.